Welcome to the Better Part Podcast. I'm Jenna Scott, a wife, mom of seven, and most importantly, daughter of Christ. Jesus wants more for us than the chaos, comparisons, and confusion of this modern life. Let's grow toward Him as we journey through motherhood together. Hello and welcome back. I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for coming back and being here for episode 7 of the prayer series. Maybe you've listened to all 7, or maybe this is your first one. Either one is fine, but I'm glad you're here. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I am so thankful, and I hope this is helpful to you. I'm going to attempt to make this a little bit of a shorter episode for us because one, I'm hitting you at the tail end of my nap time, and I told my older kids, the little ones are napping upstairs, and I told my older kids, like, if they wake up, please bring them downstairs and let them have a snack, and please don't bother me unless they really need it, but it's possible I'll be cut off. So you know the drill, 'tis the life of a mother, but I'm trying to come at you, trying to get you some good stuff in this episode, but I'm trying to do it kind of quickly, so hopefully it's a shorter episode. And it really is one that I just kind of have on my heart. We've been talking so far in this prayer series about just trying to deepen our prayer lives and grow in intimacy with the Lord, because I find in myself, but I think it's a problem for a lot of Christians, I find myself getting to a place and just kind of starting to feel satisfied, whether that is a certain amount of prayer I'm expecting, or a certain amount of closeness with the Lord that I expect to happen, or I don't know, like some amount of quote unquote holiness that I'm like, yep, this is kind of where I'm at. This is how holy I am and how holy I will be. Do you know what I'm talking about? I think I heard an analogy one time that it's kind of like people climbing up a hill, right? Sometimes we're climbing up the hill of holiness. We're working our prayer lives. We're developing virtue. We're staying away from sin. We are trying to get closer to God. Maybe we stop halfway through the hill and we take a little break and we look down and we see a lot of people who are lower than us, right? Like maybe people who are struggling with sin or aren't even sure of who Jesus is, or maybe they aren't really attempting any kind of prayer life, or they aren't going to church at all. And we think, huh, I'm doing pretty good. You know, like I'm living a pretty good Christian life. I'm a pretty solid, decent person, you know, and we can get stuck and we can think, okay, this is pretty good. This is who I am. But I don't want to stop there. I don't think that God dreamed for me when he created me. I don't think he dreamed for me to be some mediocre Christian living a mediocre life. I don't think he intended for me to just truck along and do what I have to do, living my daily life and doing my daily chores, and then eventually I die from some illness or something, die in my sleep, and then that's that. I just don't think that's what he dreamed up for me. And I don't think that's what he wants for you either. I can sometimes look at these saints who just gave everything to God, right? Every part of their life, they sacrificed in huge ways, and there are saints who are literally like floating out of their contemplative prayer and doing these crazy miracles. And I'm like, whoa, those are really cool models. But like, that's not me, right? Like, I've never experienced that. I've never floated in prayer. And, you know, maybe little miracles I've seen in my life, but I've never performed anything crazy, right? Like, that's just not me. And I think that I have this urge to tell people and to tell myself, why not me? Why not you? Why not us? Why aren't we the holy ones? Why aren't we the ones that are doing extraordinary things? Why aren't miracles being performed in our lives? So I that's what I want to get at, right? That's where we're at, and that's where my heart is right now. But I also am recognizing, or I know in my own personal life, that sometimes there are very real barriers to that. And sometimes it's not as simple as just making extra time in our day. You know, sometimes it is. Sometimes we're just battling logistical stuff like, oh, I'm so busy, and how am I going to fit in my prayer, or how am I going to whatever. You know, how am I going to sit down in silence when I've never experienced silence in the past however many years since I've had kids? And sometimes it is logistical things, but sometimes there are real hardships that are going on in our lives that, I mean, we're battling every day, right? And that could be a lot of things. It could be battling depression. It could be struggling with a really hard diagnosis of someone close to you, maybe a child or a parent or someone that you really care about. Or maybe you're dealing with major financial issues, you know, and you are just struggling day to day. You're juggling jobs and your husband is busy and you're busy and you're not sure if you're going to be able to stay and live where you are currently living. I don't know where you're at. Maybe that is you, maybe that's not, but I had a friend say recently, and it hit me to my core. She was talking about her prayer life, and she was just saying, I don't even know what to say. And it just shot me back to places, times in my life when I've been like that, you know? Sometimes you come to prayer, and you just don't even know what to say. You don't have anything to say to him. Because you've prayed and maybe prayers have not been answered, or because you don't even know what to say to anyone right now. You're just having a tough time. Maybe you feel like you don't have anything good to say. You just feel like you're either going to be angry or sad and you don't want to bring that to God. And sometimes it's like that. It brought me back to, there was a particular time that I was thinking about at the end of 2020. My dad was diagnosed with ALS, which you might know of, you might not, like Lou Gehrig's disease is another name for it people know of. Basically, you lose all function, right? You're not able to control your body. And bit by bit, you lose control of your body. Eventually, you lose control of like your esophagus to be able to swallow things or your lungs to be able to breathe. And that leads to death, right? And there's no cure. There's still a lot of research going on for it. We don't know that much about ALS, but we know that these things happen sometimes. And yeah, he was diagnosed with this. So at that time, I was really shaken. It was really hard for me recognizing that because things went south really, really quickly. He, from the time of diagnosis, it was like 10 weeks before his passing. He was losing control and capacity every day. It was going so quickly. And he required a lot of help, you know, to do anything in his life. It was a lot on my mom. You know, she was suffering. It was a lot on the whole family. It was a lot of my sister. She was doing so much to serve and help my dad at that time. And it was a lot on all of us. We were flying back and forth to El Paso, where my parents live. At first, he was here in Dallas, where we were. And then they brought him back home to El Paso. And we were going out there a lot. Meanwhile, I had 5 little kids, including one little baby who was really struggling, really, really struggling at that time. We didn't know why, but she was having a lot of trouble. She was really sick and very, very, very unhappy. It was a hard time for me. And eventually, you know, shortly after my dad's passing, my baby ended up going to the hospital totally on the brink of death. And by God's grace, for some reason, he deemed to bring her back. And she is doing great to this day. I'm so happy to say. But we were in the hospital for a couple weeks. She was in critical care for a while. She had a feeding tube for a couple months. She was in therapies for a year after that. Meanwhile, while we're in the hospital, this is so crazy. And if you know me, like, you know, you remember this. But while we were in the hospital with my cute little JoJo, our house totally flooded. There was a freeze going on in Dallas and our house flooded and we had to like redo the whole house. And that was crazy. There was just a lot going on. Anyway, I was in a tough place from that diagnosis forward. And I remember being like that. Like, I remember going to prayer and I was just sad. I was just sad and sometimes kind of mad. Just kind of, I would say the feeling that I felt sometimes was just annoyed. Like, this is stupid. This sucks. I don't like this. This is stupid. I remember saying that all the time. This is stupid. But I would come to God and I look back at my journal at that time. I was just saying like, God, I'm sad. And that was basically all I was saying. That's all I could say. It was just like, I'm sad. I don't know what to say. And that might be where you're at right now. and some encouragement for you during that time. I recognized, although my prayer was very shallow from, you know, the timing standpoint, what I was doing, what I was sharing, I was not having these amazing meditations or contemplations. I was just sitting and being with God where I could. But He never left me during that time. And what I mean is, you know how, like I was saying at the beginning, sometimes in your prayer, you just feel like on fire for God. You feel Him, His presence, right? Like, it's almost as if you could just reach out and touch Him. He's there, right? And then sometimes in your prayer, you don't really feel Him totally. And you might know He's there. You might question it, but you're just kind of praying and shooting it out there and hoping He hears, right? And at that time when I was praying, He was always present. Like, even though it wasn't anything incredible, our prayer, He was always there. I could tell. I knew He was there. And there were so many ways that He was showing up in my life in very tangible physical ways. Like, He was providing for us in financial ways. He was providing for us through amazing friends who were supporting us during this tough time. And He was providing in so many specific little perfect nuanced miracles that were happening. And He didn't leave me. And if you find yourself in this hard state, I want to tell you, He has not forgotten you. He sees you. He sees your state. And He might be performing little miracles for you. I don't know. Maybe you see them or maybe you don't. But He hasn't left you, and He doesn't want hardship for you. He wants goodness for you. I can't promise that'll come in your financial situation getting better or in whatever's happening with you. I can't promise that, but I do promise that He wants heaven for you. And even though there are struggles in this world, He will deliver you from them, and He will bring you to His goodness and His glory one day. And you can trust that. This world wasn't made to be your end. And where you're at is not made to be your end. It is not who you are. And He knows that. You are His beloved, precious daughter, who He created, whose hair, every hair He knows. And I want you to know that, even if it doesn't feel that way. A couple things I was going to say, if you find yourself in that state, these are a couple things that helped me in this particular stage. I would say, if you can, even if you don't feel like you're doing anything in your prayer, I would say still try to have somewhat of routine with prayer. Try to find a moment with Him every day, whatever that looks like. At that time for me, it was very shallow journaling. I was also following along with the Bible in a Year podcast, which was great because it was continuing to bring me into truth. And the truth of God is always, always effective. And so I was continuing to come into the Bible, even if some days I was just kind of like, in a daze, taking in what I could, you know, and some days it was really powerful, you know, but some days it was just like, okay, I listened, you know. And I was also listening to a podcast called Pray As You Go podcast. I think I mentioned it in the meditative episode, but it gives like scripture and then gives questions for your own kind of pondering. And that was helping me because it could kind of guide me through prayer when I didn't feel like I could actually produce anything on my own. So try something. I don't know what works for you. Maybe taking a moment. Some people, it makes a big difference being outside. Take a minute outside every day to just be with the Lord, breathe in fresh air and say hi, you know. Or maybe it's trying to go to an extra mass every week, or maybe it's trying to go to adoration once a week, but something, you know, have some anchor in your life that's reminding you of God's presence. Number two, I would say look for Him. He was showing up for me in very, very obvious ways in my life. But it would be easy to miss those. It would be easy to not see them if I wasn't looking. So maybe see if you could try to notice little blessings, even if they're small right now. little ways that he is showing up for you, and he was showing you that you are not forgotten. And then just three, tell yourself the truth that you are beloved. Whether you are stuck in an abusive situation or you are stuck in a state that you cannot get out of, whatever that looks like, you are beloved. You are special. You are the one that he created and loves. I say the one because he sees you as the one. And that can't be taken away from you because you are his daughter. So remember that. So sometimes those emotional difficulties are just barriers in our prayer, but I would say continue on. And if you find yourself in a state where you're not in a really hard place, maybe you're in a place that is kind of more consistent. You know, there are always troubles in every day, right? But no like major things going on. I would say think about it as a time of preparation too, because you never know where your life is going to take you, and you don't know what tomorrow brings, if that's going to bring a hardship or not. But if you're in a place today where things are as you expect to some extent, then use this time to grow close to the Lord. Learn his voice so that when you're in a time of hardship, you'll recognize it when you hear it. Prior to my dad's diagnosis, I would say maybe 8 or 9 months prior. This is so cool. This is God's just love for me, and I'm so grateful to get to share it with you. But like 8 or 9 months prior, I recognized in my prayer life that I was much closer and felt more comfortable and confident with Jesus and the Holy Spirit than I did with God the Father. For some reason, like, I always prayed with closeness to Jesus because he was just my first love. You know, he was the first one that I was like, oh, yes, you are the one. I love you. You're the one that I know and I know loves me. And Jesus was my dude, you know, he's my guy. And then the Holy Spirit I'd grown close to because one, I was just in desperate need of him and mothering, I needed him so deeply. And God the Father, I just didn't really spend any time with him. And so at this time, I recognized that and I was like, huh, you know, I would like to have a relationship with God the Father. Like, I would like that in my life. And so it sounds silly, but I was literally like, Jesus, will you introduce me to your father? You know, can you show me your father? And he did. He opened up my eyes and I started getting really close to God the Father. So I started praying to God the Father a lot more and feeling so much closer to him. Well, how special was that for me later on when I knew I was going to be losing my father on earth? I was like, oh, God, like, you prepared me because you knew I would need my heavenly father. You prepared my heart. You showed me that, hey, you still have a father. You have a father in heaven who loves you. Grow in that relationship so that when you don't have your earthly father, you still have your heavenly father. Oof, sorry, guys, I'm getting all choked up. But that might be you right now. Maybe there's a way that God wants to reach to you right now because he wants to prepare you for what's to come. And spend that time, put in the time, you know, to make that happen. So whatever you're going through, whatever barriers you're seeing, know that he is there. He is there with you. And I'm hopeful that this can encourage you and remind you of the truth that you are loved. And in the next week, we're going to talk about more of those Ignatian principles. So we're going to talk a little bit about ups and downs in spiritual life, whether they're due to us or some other force. But that can be helpful to recognizing, like, what is our current spiritual state and kind of being able to make decisions on our prayer and on our lives based on that. So I hope you join me again for that. And I hope to see you then. Bye. Thank you so much again for being here today. If you know of anyone who could gain from this episode, would you please share it with them? You never know how God might be calling you to bring someone else closer to him. I'd also just love it if you came back, so please subscribe to this podcast and join me for future episodes. And until then, may God bless you.